It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
I wanted you.
Back with you now on The Takeaway, I'm Tanzina Vega. The UK has just over 2 months left to reach a Brexit deal with the European Union. And since becoming Prime Minister in late July, Boris Johnson has said that he's working towards a deal while bracing for the possibility of leaving without one.
We're ready to work with our friends and partners to get a deal. But if you want a good deal for the UK, you must simultaneously get ready to come out without one.
That was Johnson speaking with Reuters earlier this week. On Saturday, Johnson will head to France for the G7 summit, and that meeting is likely to highlight growing divides between several of the world's leaders in attendance, with the UK and the US moving in an isolationist direction, while France and Germany continue to stake out more moderate positions. Joining me now is Yasmin Sirhan, a staff writer at The Atlantic. Yasmin, thanks for coming back on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So at the beginning of the week, we saw some very public back and forth between Boris Johnson and European Council President Donald Tusk over the border between Northern Ireland and Ireland. This has been an issue at contention for quite some time. What's the latest there?
Indeed. Well, the latest is that no one's really changed their position, which is why we're still at this logjam. Johnson campaigned to be prime minister on the position that he would try to compel the EU to get rid of the backstop, which is the mechanism in Theresa May's withdrawal agreement that she agreed with the EU, that would basically prevent the need for customs checks, or what we know as a hard border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. Johnson doesn't like this, as does most Brexiteers. They want to get rid of it. Because it would tie Britain to EU rules and regulations until alternative arrangements can be found. So it would limit their ability to go out and strike new trade deals. And the way Boris describes it would simply be anti-democratic and violate UK sovereignty. So Boris has kind of staked his position on that. And the EU, unsurprisingly, has said no, that that is part of the deal, that they're not going to get rid of it because they will not countenance a hard border on the island of Ireland. So we're pretty much directly where we've started. But as you mentioned, just 2 months away from the big Brexit day.
It doesn't look like either side is willing to budge in order to negotiate anything on this before the Halloween deadline.
You're absolutely right. I mean, both sides have pretty much staked their positions from the start. They both have their reasons for having those positions. And as Boris mentioned in that clip, his idea is you need to pretty much stand firm and prepare for no deal to have the best negotiating advantage. The only problem is the EU can do exactly the same thing. So what we end up with is both sides preparing for an outcome that both of them say they don't want.
What are people in the UK feeling about the possibility of a no-deal Brexit? I mean, is that still something, is that provoking a lot of anxiety right now as we're sort of ending the summer and coming into what could really be the final weeks of this standoff?
It's a good question. I mean, there was a poll that was done back in April via the British pollster YouGov that found that nearly, I believe, half of Britons, exactly 50%, think that no deal would be a bad outcome for the country, compared to just a quarter, 25%, who think it would be a good outcome. But that same poll also found that nearly half of Brits, 47%, believed that the implications of a no deal, such as food and medicine shortages, were exaggerated or invented. So I think what we're dealing with here in this country is a lot of Brexit fatigue. But I think recent reports just this week from leaked government documents about the implications of no deal, possible worst case scenario outcomes, could potentially be making people feel a bit more nervous about it. We'll just have to wait and see what the polling says.
Yasmin, we mentioned at the top this sort of how the UK and the US are sort of staking out their very isolationist positions, while France and Germany are sort of seeking a more moderate approach. How do we expect to see that play out at the G7?
It'll be interesting. This will be Boris Johnson's first foray into the world stage as prime minister. So it will be interesting to see, you know, the conversations that he's expected to have with some of those European leaders that you just mentioned, Merkel in Germany, Macron in France. But notably, President Trump will be there as well, representing the United States. So, you know, it will be interesting because I think all these players do play a role in this Brexit saga. Quite interestingly, with President Trump talking, obviously, about the prospects of a trade deal with the UK once it's actually left the EU. I mean, I think things to look for in the G7 is, you know, how Boris Johnson decides to position himself vis-a-vis his European allies and vis-a-vis his ally in the United States, where obviously, as you mentioned, there are a lot of differences between the two sides, particularly on issues of foreign policy.
Well, the relationship between Trump and Johnson has been quite friendly, and I'm wondering if that just gives us an indication that Boris Johnson might feel more emboldened to try and strike that deal with President Trump at some point, because he seems to be pretty hardline Brexiteer supporter.
He is, yeah. He's taken quite a shine to Boris. I think he quite likes that Johnson is described as Britain's Trump. I think he's quite pleased with that. But yes, I mean, you're absolutely right. They do seem to have a burgeoning bromance going on. How long that will last, I'm not sure. Whether it's able to weather the differences between the two countries, not just the differences that they would face in a possible trade negotiation, which, as you mentioned, both sides are quite keen on, but also foreign policy differences. I mean, I think it's worth remembering that, you know, on issues such as Iran, on Huawei, climate change, a whole host of issues, the U.S. and the U.K. aren't exactly on the same page.
Now, of course, there's always the possibility that the U.K. will not leave the European Union. What could that potentially do to Trump's hopes for a trade deal with the U.K.?
Well, it certainly would derail the chances for a trade talk, certainly. And I mean, I think it's also worth noting that should Britain in the end leave with the deal and decide to align itself with EU rules and regulations, should even, as was reported earlier today, Boris Johnson's plan of potentially striking sort of a bilateral deal between London and Dublin to prevent a hard Irish border. I mean, coming to some sort of deal there, that could also forestall trade negotiations, because obviously, as we know, Ireland is a member of the EU. And while it's very unclear to me and seems unlikely that Ireland would agree to that sort of thing, even if that were to happen, I think there would be issues. I mean, there's just so many issues. And that's why trade talks do take a long time. So if anyone's expecting this to be quick, I think they're going to be sorely disappointed.
We should note that National Security Advisor John Bolton traveled to the UK earlier this month to meet with members of Boris Johnson's government. Do we know what the purpose of that visit was and how it went?
Indeed, he did. Yes, he came here and he was basically kind of making a lot of the promises that President Trump was about: speedy sector by sector trade deals and bipartisan support for them. Though I do think it is important to keep in mind that John Bolton is the National Security Advisor. He is not the U.S.'s trade envoy. He is not Bob Lighthizer. And it's unclear whether it's within his gift to offer these sort of gifts to the UK. You know, the issues that he cares about are, as I mentioned, issues where the two countries fundamentally disagree. It seemed to me, just from my reading of it, that Bolton was here to sort of use the possibility of a trade deal as a lure to perhaps get Britain to start thinking about the ways in which it could maybe move closer to the U.S. on some of those key foreign policy issues. It's unclear to me that the trip really resulted in any sort of definitive outcome in that regard, but I think that's what they were aiming for. So, you know, whether Britain and Johnson decide to do that with the hopes of a trade deal remains to be seen, but I would be a bit skeptical that, you know, a trade deal between the two countries would ignore those vast issues. I think they would have to come to a head at some point.
Yasmin Searhan is a staff writer at The Atlantic, and she told us about Brexit news today. Thanks so much, Yasmin.
Thanks for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.